The Business Shrink is ready to answer your question now. Email Peter Morris. Just write to question@businessshrink.biz. That's question@businessshrink, one word, .biz. And now your Business Shrink, Peter Morris, continues to talk out of the box with Professor Roger Martin, Professor of Strategic Management at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Peter Morris continues that conversation now.
And, of course, your matrix is very helpful. And when you talk about determining relevance or salience, the integrative thinker looks for less obvious but potentially relevant factors, analyzing causality, consider multidirectional nonlinear relationships with variables, envisioning the design of the decision architecture. So they see problems, the whole, and how they affect one another, and achieving a resolution, they resolve tensions among, you know, opposing ideas to generate innovative outcomes. And I believe that's a brilliant way that you have of expressing a quality that most people don't have or recognize they have and don't exercise or build, but could if they were so educated and inclined.
It's right, Peter, and lots of people tell me this can't be taught and then use as proof that it isn't, right? And I would say, well, just because we don't try to teach it doesn't mean it's unteachable.
I think it is teachable.
And I think it's a great shame that people get into this mindset. I mean, it's a non-integrative thinking mindset, which is to say, we'd like people to think this way, but we don't think it's teachable, therefore we're just not going to try. Instead of, I think an integrative thinker would say, well, if this is really important, we should figure out how to teach it, which is what we're up to at the Rotman School.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and of course, you know, in mediation and collective bargaining and in management labor issues, dispute resolution, arbitration, as well as mediation, I mean, this type of thinking is what gets to home plate. And I can't tell you how many examples where people have hardened positions, and the best thing a mediator could do is get underneath the positions to understand the feelings and the rationale. And instead of trying to deal with calcified positions, they deal with wants, needs, fears, and aspirations and reconstruct a system that's more workable and appealable to both sides. And I think this is definitely a muscle that can be taught and developed, just as mediators and arbitrators are taught these things.
Sure. And if you think about mediators and arbitrators, which are the ones that are considered legendary and most valuable in that field?
Mediators.
The people who, as mediators, don't try and convince A to go over to B side or B to go over to A side. They come up with C, the better answer, after, as you correctly say, as they talk to A and talk to B and figure out what's really behind it and say, oh, you guys don't see, there's a better answer out there, and everybody walks out of the room saying, wow, that guy was great. And I think it's because they have that capacity.
I actually have developed a capacity as a problem solver to talk to a stranger with a problem as expressed by the stranger and drill down with a series of related questions until the solution becomes apparent not only to me, but to the person who had the problem.
That's a valuable.
No, but I think that's teachable as well, because what we're doing is just what you said.
And what it reveals, something that I don't talk about in the article, but I talk about in the book. The article essentially talks about what's in the first half of the book that's coming out, the Opposable Mind book, which is how these integrative thinkers think. The second half of the book is about how to develop yourself as an integrative thinker. And the very first thing that's critically important is your stance. And what you have, what you're describing, Peter, is an integrative thinker's stance, which is that you don't believe that the existing models that you're presented represent reality. Right? They're just they're just models, and you can come up with a better model. And you have to believe that. If you believe that the only models that exist are the ones that we already see, you won't search for that creative resolution. And I think it's a kind of an optimistic kind of model seeker who practices the muscle and becomes an integrative thinker. And the person who's a contented model taker, who contentedly says, well, these are the only models that are out there, so I guess I have to choose one, and that's my lot in life, they will never exercise the muscle to become an integrative thinker.
Yes, and I agree. And I guess it's part of my sense of rebellion that I resent being presented two unattractive choices.
Yep. And how many times, Peter, do people use the expression, well, Peter, the reality is blah, 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 right? They'll say the reality is we have to make a choice between these two. And I think a person like you will cavil at that and say, what do you mean the reality is? That's just your way of thinking about it. I'm going to think harder and come up with something better.
Well, it's just like a friend of mine said on the 4th of July, we have a boat that has 7 seats and there are potentially 10 people. What do we do? We got to say no to 3 of the people. And I said, no, we don't. We can do shifts. One group can come and leave at 3 and the other group, because they have to go anyway, and the other group can come after 3 and go till 7. I mean, it's always some other, there's always a way.
But only if you believe so.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but it's a critical piece that I would say many integrative thinkers kind of take for granted. They don't realize what separates them from other people is that their basic stance is, oh, there's always a way. What they think is that when they come up against a difficult trade-off, what they say is, oh, I haven't thought hard enough yet. Whereas the non-integrative thinker, when they come up against a really difficult trade-off, they say to themselves, oh dear, that's just the world doing this to me. Isn't that unfortunate? I guess I have to choose. So they have this sort of external center of control that says, the world imposes bad things on me. The integrative thinker says, the world imposes a situation that causes me to think harder so I can come up with something really clever.
And of course, that's the age-old mix between determinism and fatalism. And in my view, I'm a determinist to the very best of my ability. And only when I've exhausted every remedy do I then become a fatalist.
But by being that determinist, as you say, it's a muscle. It's like you go to the gym every day and work out the option creation muscle.
Yes.
And so over time, you come to think that the world that you live in is one that you can shape. You can use your mind to shape the world. Whereas if you don't go to the gym every day and you're a fatalist, you come to believe that you must take the world in whatever shape it's given to you. You just sort of say, well, that's my lot, and I guess I just have to accept that. I wish this weren't so unpleasant. And that's why what I would argue is that this is very much a spiral, an upward and downward spiral, right? So the person who has the stance that says, I can create new models, practices it a lot, gets experience at it, gets more confident at it, hangs in there longer, gets practice at handling complex situations, and just gets better and better and better. And the person who at the outset says, well, there's nothing I can do about this, life's miserable, I got to choose among these bad options, gets no practice, gets discouraged, gets passive, comes to believe that's the way life is, and essentially, never see the gym in their life and never exercise the muscle.
And I would submit to you that it's definitely a right brain muscle, a creative muscle, even in the business context, that leads people to be integrative thinkers.
I think that's true.
And I want to thank you as we conclude a fascinating discussion with you, Professor Martin. And I would love to have you back to discuss and role play and maybe bring some other people on to discuss problem solving.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to, Peter. I'd love to come back And if anybody is interested in this, buy the HBR article, but also in December, published by Harvard Business School Publishing, is going to be the book on this, The Opposable Mind, that has lots more examples and work on how to become a better thinker.
And I'll be sure to buy it, and I want the audience to share in that and buy that too, and I'd love to have you on again.
Well, just invite me, and I will be back.
A terrific conversation to eavesdrop on as the phone clicks off up there on the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere, as this fascinating conversation to learn from and eavesdrop on with your business shrink. You've been listening to Peter Morris, The Business Shrink, right here on WRTN 93.5 FM in New York and coast-to-coast on Sirius Satellite Radio 114. That's Lime, healthy living with a twist. You can join The Business Shrink every weekday at 2 in the afternoon Central, 3 Eastern, for the best in logic, feeling, psychology, and strategy. Email your business questions to Peter Morris. Write to question@businessshrink.biz.